Okay, hello, we are back with another episode of All Consumed, and we have just consumed almost all of a menu at a lovely restaurant here in Fitzrovia. I'm Chris Osborne. I'm here with
Neil Davey.
And Neil, what is this restaurant? It's your idea to come here.
Wantaria. So it's a little project, the part of the carousel thing. So the kind of the temporary restaurant, kind of kitchen chef showcase idea. And they've given Poons,
Poons.
1970s, this long established family. I believe the patriarch of the family was the first Chinese chef to give a Michelin star in the UK.
Okay.
So it's his daughter, his granddaughter, I will check that out. Now, sort of front and center of the company. And yeah, so they've got their own range of sauces, dressings, etc. Posters on the wall. And yeah, lovely little kind of little dumpling shack, really, just on Charlotte Street.
Charlotte
and I think we may have to change the name of the podcast to All Inhaled.
Yes, All Inhaled. And also All Inhaled in Fitzrovia. We tend to find ourselves around here in
I guess it's just convenient for us
as podcasters.
Yeah, Charlotte Street's long been a nice little sort of collection of things. Charlotte Street's got a lovely little collection of restaurants and bars and stuff. We've barely scratched the surface. So,
well, this might be the one I would come back to first. This was really great, man. We went through the, what were your highlights from the menu, mate?
Certainly the dumplings.
Yeah.
Great. Just had a tribute to Future Dunlop tofu dish with century egg and avocado. Would not ordinarily have been my century egg. Is this something that tend to go raw? I'm not sure.
That's great.
But it was lovely. There's a lot of seasoning on that. The what? Fried Poon's wind-dried pork sausage.
Yeah,
just
those
a glorious
delicious
name.
Delicious.
The rice noodles. That'll be refreshing. It's a sticky ass kind of day.
The churros, the Chinese churros.
Yeah.
Double fried bread with the woe sauce that Poon's is, I guess, most famous for.
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
Nice tang to the sauce. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Just really, really nice. Just simple. I imagine most people will come and spend slightly longer than we did eating.
Yeah, we broke the world record inhaling those dumplings. You're right, all inhaled very quickly. We're like, oh, yes. Anyway, so my guess is you've been eating well at other places.
Yeah. Well, I know one of the things we're going to talk about is we've both been to the same place.
Yeah, but I think
coincidentally, 24 hours apart, I think. Yeah, I was when, both in Shrewsbury. So yeah, and I was in Shropshire last week for a couple of features for a couple of magazines. Kind of fact finding for one and a more kind of confirmed feature for somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah, just found lovely, brilliant, brilliant food community. But again, I was in Herefordshire last year, and I think it's because there's no direct motorway. It's you're going to Shropshire because you're going to Shropshire. It kind of forces everyone to kind of work together
okay.
and know each other. Great farming, beautiful countryside, wonderful scenery, kind of quite jaw-dropping at times. And, yeah, it's just a really old school. As you see, there are fields of cows and sheep. And
what?
You go past pig farms and all sorts of stuff. And then, yeah, Shrewsbury, as a traditional market town, the market is not the most attractive of buildings.
No.
But, which didn't bode well, I'm kind of walking along, thinking, I'm looking at my map, going, well, it's just around this corner. It must be just behind that hideous 1960s bus station.
Everything else is gorgeous.
Right. Yeah.
Timber frame, medieval theater. Yeah. And there's like,
And apparently there wasn't an older market, which they took down to
well, in the corner, you see the remnants of it.
Yeah. To build that one. But rather brilliantly, well, I was in Hereford last year, and their market hall is very, very traditional, what you'd expect from a British market town. Shrewsbury feels like they've installed management and someone with an idea of where it could go. So there are the like the fantastically eccentric stalls you would expect to find in any British market. There's like, yeah. You can go and buy birthday cards, you can go and buy birthday banners, you can buy pet supplies, you can buy a
birthday
a trowel.
Supplies.
Yeah, and just all that kind of
birthday
stuff. Get, yeah, get locks fixed and keys cut and stuff. There's a travel agent in one of the corners.
Yeah, it's, yeah,
it's,
okay.
It's a really eclectic thing. But someone has actually kind of controlled a lot of the food things. So there's some really interesting cafes. Apparently the coffee place is really great. Maintaining the dumpling theme of this evening, went to a place called Molly's Tea House.
Okay.
It's a lady who, she spent a lot of time in China and then came back and decided she wanted to do something different. She was a teacher, needed to do something different, and got the option to start a little food business at Shrewsbury Market, making phenomenal dumplings. Menu kind of meanders across all sorts of bits of Asia. There were a couple of Thai specials and stuff, as well as the more kind of traditional Chinese stuff. But brilliant, unapologetically spiced where it needed to be, unapologetically spiced. The fish comes from the fish counter at the market. The guy selling the fish had recommended the Thai pork balls that they had, and the meat that comes from one of the butchers the other side of the
hall. Nice.
So using all the local people, all the local suppliers, and just great, not what I was expecting to find in Shrewsbury Market. And then, and I know you stumbled into a fabulous baker's.
Yes, so I was around, I was in Shrewsbury maybe a day or two before you, coincidentally just happened to be there. I'll tell you why in just a moment, but I was in that area in the morning, so I saw the dumpling house you're talking about, but they weren't open yet. But there was a great coffee place, the Bird's Nest at the market. I had a coffee there, and across the street was a fantastic bakery, Auto Live or Auto Live, I'm not quite sure, Auto Live. but just looking at it, I saw it the night before, and just looking in the window, like, oh, we have to come here. And yeah, the pastries there were fantastic, fantastic. Sticky pecan roll. There was a roll that was harissa, honey, and sesame that was just amazing.
Yeah, we had one of those. That was terrific.
Jalapeno and cheddar croissant, and just some really amazing things. Yeah. And you, in fact, I raved about it to you.
Yeah, it did. I detoured there the following day after dumplings. But no, Shrewsbury really impressed me. So there's one road down from the main bit of town down to the river, which apparently is the longest street of independent businesses.
All right, yeah. Is that Pride Hill? There's like two streets with a lot of indie businesses. But
apparently,
believe it or not, there's more there than food.
Yeah.
But one thing I really liked is the birthplace of Darwin. So Charles Darwin. So it was interesting to see some Darwin history there. Particularly, there's a gorgeous. Did you go to the quarry? That beautiful sort of central.
No, we just ate. We leave you to do the coffee.
Well, we got our pastries and coffee and walked over to this park. And there's a particular area called the Dingle, which is just beautifully, beautifully landscaped. Tons of flowers at this time of year. I think they just had a big flower show there, actually. And apparently Darwin got a lot of ideas and early inspiration about nature and biology. But just being a kid playing there. Also, a lot of his concepts seemed to come while he was a young member of the Unitarian congregation there. So went in that church, interesting. And also, still the public library, historic registered building, used to be a school where he went to school. And it's just really interesting to see. They really honor him there. You can tell they're really proud of their, hero, so to speak. Yeah,
good. Well, I was really, really impressed. And so, and Shropshire as a whole, I found got to explore a little bit more. A little town called Whitchurch, which is, yeah, I mean, it probably hasn't even registered on most people's radars, so certainly around London and the home counties. Tiny little marketplace, tiny little market town. On the one main street, there are two restaurants which, if they don't get Michelin recognition in the next 12 months, I think something's gone horribly wrong.
Okay.
Both on a par with each other, both very different approach. One called Wild Shropshire with a chef called James Sherwin, kind of one-man band. That's a, you sit down, drinks from 6:30, you sit down at 7 o'clock. It's a 9-10 course tasting menu. You don't get shown the menu until the end of the meal.
All right, wow.
Brilliant staff. They come around explaining how you eat things, kind of giving you different types of cutlery. So, yeah, you can pick this one up and drink the sauce.
Surprises? I didn't realize
that. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, no, I'm very much so. A couple of things are like, okay, and this, you'll want to mop. You got some moppy up bread. You really want to attack that. Definitely want this. You want to drink that sauce. You do this. And just brilliant. And then and I was lucky enough that afternoon, James has, they're billing it as a farm by his own admission. It's not really a farm. It's a couple of polytunnels and a few raised beds on a piece of land just outside the church, where they're trying to get planning permission to build another restaurant. And there's a couple that used to dine at the restaurant a lot, Jeff and Joe, both retired. James needed someone to grow stuff experimentally, so Jeff said, what the hell, I'm not doing anything, I'll do that. And Joe used to be a teacher. James was advertising for a general manager, and she was like, I've controlled naughty children, I'm sure I can control diners. And she was brilliant. And it's just this lovely kind of very local feel, but with a kind of real Scandinavian Asian twist to a lot of the food. Really clever, clean, creative, everything but the potatoes they're growing on their own.
Okay.
In their own beds. Just lovely. And then near further up the road, Stuart and Francis Collins, who've got amazing CVs. They're at a restaurant currently called Docket Number 33, going to be called Docket Restaurant in due course. The idea is that she does front of house, he's the chef, and the Docket is where they're ordering food. Is the thing that they combine forces on.
Okay.
So it's a nice combination. It was a word that sums up front of house and back of house for them. Again, 9-course, 10-course tasting menu, really great wine matches, lovely bar, hugely busy, really fun, creative food. They've worked all over the world. Really playful, but seriously good ingredients, seriously good cooking. And again, lovely stuff. Although it was actually because I was driving, I also had the non-alcoholic pairing at Wild Shropshire, which was astonishing. Things like fermented tomato juices and all sorts of stuff. Really clever, really creative. Very least they deserve as a green star.
Okay.
So, and you were, and you've been eating, you were back in the...
Yes, so the reason I was in Shrewsbury was I was coming back down from the Isle of Man. My partner and I had gone, taking the ferry from Liverpool, and it's for about a week-long holiday on the Isle of Man, and I guess I should say it's one of my favorite places, because it's like the third time I've been here, and maybe not quite 3 years, and I'm already planning to go back. Some family connections with my partner is part of the reason, but I do love it there. And small island, I don't even think there's 100,000 permanent residents there, but there is some really great food. And this time round, I ate very well at a couple of places that I would love to mention. One is Moore's Smokehouse. Okay, there's a little town called Peel. It's famous for its kippers and smoked fish and meats. And I just had, I think they call it the Beast Box, all these smoked brisket and chicken and everything. That was fantastic. I brought home,
you sent me a photo of that. Yes, it looked,
I brought home some
crazy
kippers and also some smoked black pudding. Oof. That I've been enjoying since. Also in Peel is a really old ice cream parlor, and for some reason the Isle of Man does better ice cream than all of the UK as far as I can tell. I don't know why, but one of the places is Davidson's, had fantastic ice cream there. Another place is on the other end of the island in Ramsey, and this place is called Gelatori, and it's really just some of the most inventive ice cream I've ever had. I had a Manx milk, scoop of Manx milk, and on top I had Iron Brew soft serve.
Wow.
And I it was on my list to go back there, because the time before I was there I had a cherry cola soft serve that was just fantastic. So really playful flavors,
nice,
but just really nice. All nice. Your favorite candies and everything, but also leaning toward local ingredients and things like that, local flavors. And if I can keep raving about food there, had maybe one of my best meals was a vegan restaurant called Vibe in Douglas, which is kind of like the main town. I had a vegan roast, but it wasn't like weird science stuff. It was actually just this nicely constructed nut and veggie thing, but it was just really good. They made their Yorkshire puddings out of graham flour.
Wow.
And it just, tons of gravy. It was just a really good meal. Lovely, lovely setting. I think the owner, someone who just suddenly was diagnosed with cancer, survived it, and started eating healthy, and now just makes really healthy and yummy food. Had a lovely pastry dessert with locally foraged blackberries, things like that. And obviously, I was eating a lot of meat there, but this was still probably my favorite meal. Also, another one more great meal. Kizuna, which is a Japanese restaurant, close-ish to the airport. Oh, man. And I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole of how authentic it was, but it's as good as most of the Japanese food I've had anywhere else, even in Japan. And really lovely service, beautiful setting, a nice evening out with my partner. She and I just had a wonderful time. And could have walked out the door and been central London, central New York, Tokyo, but, you know, just in this beautiful rural setting. And that's the nicest thing about, man, is all the glens, all the nature walks, just smelling the green and the oxygen, being close to the ocean. It's a really wonderful place.
I was going to say, you put a load of photos up on your Instagram.
And I would, on my Instagram, Chris Osborne. Just looks like I'm in a fairy tale. Yeah,
absolutely stunning. Looks like you're kind of location scouting for the next Lord of the Rings.
Well, maybe I was, yes.
It's quite astonishing. But, so I think I signed the Isle of Man. It's on my list.
And I would highly recommend, I mean, flights are cheap and very short, but it was really fun having our own car there. And the ferry itself, Steam Packet Ferry Company, it was just a nice little adventure going there, taking the ferry from Liverpool.
Nice.
Yeah. Didn't spend enough time in Liverpool. That's a great city, but we were just there, kind of grab a meal and then hop on the ferry. Yeah.
Also on the list. Long time. Also on the list. Long time since I've been to Liverpool. It's interesting you talk about vegetarian.
Okay.
Stuff. The first thing I did in Shropshire was to visit a couple of beautiful kind of Airbnb rental properties on their kind of converted barn for the farmyard. But they run a vegetarian cookery school called Veggie Farm. They both went vegetarian for health reasons. And just trying to explain to people and show people how you can cook vegetarian food. And as a result of it, during lockdown, was making cooking a lot at home.
Yeah.
And really got to recognize the simplicity and the joy of making flatbreads. And how quick you can make a flatbread.
Yes.
And I've completely fallen out of the habit.
Yeah.
And we've made this quick dish, bomb made of kind of mozzarella and roasted aubergine and red pesto and stuff. Dead simple, really, really lovely. And yogurt flatbreads to go with it. And it reminded me how easy they are. And been making them at home ever since. So thank you, Vegifine, for the little reminder.
Well, if I may say about something yummy I've been making at home, I had a really great breakfast I made for myself before I went to the Isle of Man. And I was just getting rid of the things that were going to go bad in the fridge before we went away. And I already had some of my own cold brew. I think I even mentioned making cold brew and cold brew ice cubes last episode. So I had some of that. And I had some Padron peppers that needed to be cooked and a watermelon that probably wasn't going to last. And those three things made the most delicious, refreshing summer breakfast. So fried up the Padron peppers. I like them really blistered and kind of charry. Watermelon was great, obviously. And just with the cold brew, it was really nice. Probably going to do it again this weekend. It's a really nice combination. I wouldn't have immediately thought of, but it was a super easy and yummy homemade breakfast. Yeah.
Thank you, God of Left. All hail the God of Left.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I could say, Neil, something else I've been enjoying at home is an aperitivo, Italian bitter, an amaro, and that is Select Aperitivo, which apparently is a really classic drink in Venice. In fact, it's the main ingredient of a Venetian spritz, and I like it on its own. Campari kind of flavors, maybe a good comparison. Maybe a little more vibrant in flavor. Mm-hmm. I think there's 30 botanicals in it. It's got this ruby red color. It's fun to drink. Probably be great in a Negroni, but I just like maybe sipping a little bit of it with some ice. It's just worth mentioning it because I really did enjoy it, and I've been enjoying it a little bit here and there over the summer. Yeah.
Always good to discover something. Actually, on that score, the low alcohol or the zero alcohol menu introduced me to a really good London low alcohol brewery called Lower, as in Noah, L-O-A-H. And they've got there was a peach beer that they do. There is no peach in it. They've just used a couple of hops that taste really peachy.
Okay.
And it's delightful. Had a little can of that with one of the dishes at Wild, and it was absolutely terrific. So my dangerous thing when I'm traveling alone for these things is if I'm drinking, very often I find myself waking up to emails from various wine suppliers because I've bought half cases of wines that I've really enjoyed the night before. This was slightly better, but I woke up to an email having ordered 12 cans of low alcohol beer, which arrived the other day, and they're all delightful. So yeah, Lower, L-O-A-H.
L-O-A-H,
big,
very nice.
Big thumbs up from me.
And if I can throw in one more thing I like to talk about, that is actually a recommendation you made a few episodes back, and that's a film, Jerry and Marge Go Large. I actually did listen to you. I took you up on that. I watched it with my girlfriend one evening, didn't have anything else to do, and we loved it. It was a really fun movie, and I would encourage our listeners, whoever's on the other end, to go back and just look up Jerry and Marge Go Large. I think it's on Paramount Plus, which is on Amazon Prime. But also go back and find our episode. I'm not sure which one it's on, where you rave about it. And it was a great
film. It's just a nice film. It's the kind of thing a few years ago would have, I don't know, if it had the chance to spread by word of mouth, it would have been a real kind of little sleeper hit.
I think we say a few years ago, you mean like 20 years ago.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, it's like feeling the 1990s. They're only 20 years ago because we're in the 2000s, therefore it must be. It's got that vibe. It's just a sweet little film. So no, I'm glad. I'm glad.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Pleasure. Well,
and anything else, Neil?
No, that kind of covers lots of.
People want to find out more about you. Anything you want to plug or just your social handles?
Just the social handles, really. I am mostly these days on Instagram at Dine Hard. Still on. Oh God, we have to call it X. it's a bit of fire. It's a bit of fire. I feel myself slowly extricating myself from there. And you, Chris, welcome.
Yeah. I'm on Threads, Chris Osborne, OSBURN, and also on Instagram, Chris Osborne, and my blog is tikichris.com, but I really haven't done anything on it. I added some good momentum, not so much over the summer, but getting lots of inspiration to soon write about, I hope.
And what's that playing underneath us?
The Year Was Strange by Ina.
It certainly was.
Our great theme song. Thanks, Neil.
Cheers, mate.
All right, cool.
Always a pleasure.